What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dirt and Sprague.
Murphy, that one is intercepted. What a great play on the ball by Massis, who had the return call back for pass interference, and he gets tripped up at the two.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Makai Hughes in the backfield with 8 seconds left on third down, snapping back the throw. Over the middle, end zone, got him. Touchdown, Malik Benson. With 3 seconds left in the half.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. No, that is not hour number one you're hearing, but that is a second great open that we have. I cannot claim what year it started for Oregon, but I will admit I'm starting to hear the Joker and the Thief more and more.
We got him, boys!
I heard it during the... I think it was the Texas Ohio State game.
Coming in and out of a break, you mean? Kind of like a rejoinder.
Yeah. And selfishly, I think of our radio program.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But every time people are at Duck games, I hope they think, man, I'm going to listen to that show on Monday or Tuesday.
Is it 6:02 in the Rose City right now?
If they're off on Labor Day, they'll be back. They'll be back Tuesday. We'll listen.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the program, Dirt.
We do.
And it'll be a lot of the local flavor.
Yeah, one good feeling, one bad feeling. Happy tissues and sad tissues this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very easy to separate who has what based on the outcome there.
Yeah.
We got coach's audio we're going to get to. Max Chadwick of PFF.com is going to join us at 8 a.m. We'll get his read from week one, all the big takeaways. We still got a legend phone call to play.
We do.
Because Feinbaum did a show. Did Feinbaum issue apologies?
He did not, no.
No?
He did not.
He was right. It's just it was something else that got in the way of that.
Nobody criticizing Alabama not being in the dirty pool now.
Oh. Dude.
Where's that at?
Almost the weirdest dirty pool weekend of all
South
time.
South Carolina's fine. Kansas State won. There's nothing to see here. Kansas Alabama's State. The only program we're focusing on. They were jet-lagged from Ireland. What do you want from them, man? You got to fly across the globe and come back and play the mighty North Dakota, whatever they are.
That was not a good FCS team, and almost lost at home.
Doesn't matter. Oregon almost lost to Idaho and how their season go last year. Huh? Right. The future's bright in Manhattan.
I jokingly said at the break there, what felt worse, Washington State needing a walk-off and looking every bit as talented as Idaho or Oregon State losing at home? I was joking, Cook fan. Like,
it's not even close.
You got to win, so you feel better about that.
Also, they have 75 new players and a new coach, and they lost everything, and
I watched that game. I still don't know the coach's name.
Jimmy Rogers, man.
Jimmy Rogers.
Jimmy Rogers. You just got to say it in a fun way, then you'll remember it.
It's easily Oregon State, and we will start the second hour with that. I think if you would have drawn up everything on Friday's program and you would have said the points scored, the points allowed, and you would have, you know, said the stats and the numbers out, I think I would have said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a disaster. And look, we were probably more disrespectful to Cal than we needed to be, but they were also completely restarting. They had been gutted by the transfer portal. Wilcox came in with that five-star JKS quarterback, and nothing else mattered. Oregon State got obliterated at home, embarrassed, I would say, by Cal, 34-15 in their debut year two under Trent Bray, and just what I would describe as maybe the worst possible start to your season in a pretty pivotal season that you could have.
It's a fan base that I would assume is looking for signs of hope and signs of life and signs of things to be excited about, and it's not possible to lay a bigger egg than that. And it's, I don't know if you're this way when you watch your team play, but I'm this way with Oregon, where, and it doesn't always, you know, fold out that way, but you can get vibes early in a game where immediately your antennas go up of like, uh-oh, they don't seem like they have it today. Sometimes your team comes out and it's just roaring right out of the gate, and you're like, all right, I think they're going to be all right. And it doesn't mean if you start slow, you can't turn around and find a way to win. I've certainly been wrong at times watching Oregon games. My uh-oh antennas would have gone up immediately on the first two drives of the game. You have the opening drive where Cal, you force them to a three and out, and then you don't have the wherewithal to, one, have the right package in there for your punt return team. Then you don't have a coach on the sideline calling a timeout to avoid giving Cal an automatic first down. The ball's punted the way. You give them an automatic first down. They go on to score a touchdown. And then the first play from scrimmage for your offense is a low snap that the quarterback has to fall on, and you're immediately in second and 15. Now, that doesn't always mean that the rest of the game will go that way, but I had those like, oh, God, you could not have drawn up a worse start than this. How do you not call timeout to avoid that? And who cares about having only two timeouts the rest of the half? You're getting the football. There's an alternate universe where it's like, hey, maybe your mojo gets going. Instead, defense, go back out there. Dime, 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 touchdown. Uh-oh. And then you fumble, or not fumble, but a low snap on the opening play offensively. A couple of incompletions, and you punt the ball right back to them. It just was... it was a swift kick in the nuts 5 minutes into that game because you had that start. You punt the ball right back to them. They score on their second drive, and like within a blink of an eye, you're down 14-0, and you're digging out of a hole.
You know, I'll go a little earlier, and I don't cite this to say this was to blame. I'm never going to be the person that does that because I myself don't go. My brother texts me. He went to the UW game. He lives right by Husky Stadium. He's not very far from Husky Stadium.
It was another late one on Saturday.
He went to the game. He's not a big football guy, but he texted me a photo, and he was at the game with some friends, and he was like, do you go to games and tailgate? Because, again, not a big sports fan. And I go, I used to. I don't anymore. I stay home. I watch all the games. He goes, oh, that sounds boring. I'm like, it's actually perfect for me.
Yeah, it's my job. I got to see all of it.
I don't go. But I would say when you say vibes are bad, it was the instance where I saw the crowd.
Yeah, that's another bad vibe.
That, and I know, late kick, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
I get it all. That was, oh, God.
Nobody there. I mean, not nobody.
Of all your home games, this is one of your better ones. And I know the kick sucks. That started things off poorly. And then as everything you talk about of the fumble, the too many men on the field penalty, I'm screaming at my TV, oh, my God.
Just call timeout. How do you not call timeout?
And the broadcasters didn't see it, or they were like, what's the flag for? And I'm like, it's too many men. How do you not see the guy running off the field?
All of a sudden, Cal's got the ball again. You're like, wait, what just happened?
And instantly, touchdown. And then I'm just like, I'm watching this kid, this JKS kid, and I'm like, he's got no pressure on him.
Nope.
And he's not only just having no pressure, he's dropping dimes.
Jaron Sagapotule,
to the spots where his receivers needed to be. He was throwing it exclusively where only his receiver was going to catch it and nobody else. He threw one into a double team that ended up being a drop. And I'm like, you couldn't have placed it in a better spot with two defenders in the vicinity.
It was a remarkable throw.
And the guy just dropped it because, you know, he came down on his back. But I like everything about that start, and then the offense couldn't block, and then Murphy didn't look good, and Cal's offense is humming, and their defense is getting pressure. I'm just like, everything about that game was trouble, trouble, trouble.
Yep.
And I'm not going to jump to major conclusions for the season. Your schedule, it's like, look, it's going to get hard. I don't know what to think about Fresno. Swag's on the opinion they're going to wax Fresno. I'm like, Fresno won this weekend.
Who did they play? Who did Fresno play this
Georgia
weekend?
Southern.
Okay. Hey, Clay Helton.
So, like, maybe Fresno will be absolutely annihilated. I just cannot walk away from that game with that kind of confidence.
No.
And you can say, well, yeah, look at Swag on Monday calling it. But if also they lose to Fresno,
not going
to
be surprised.
He's going to have egg on his face. And then it's Texas Tech. And then it's Oregon. And then it's Houston.
Yep.
And then some of the schedule is, you know, more manageable. But for year two to look that disorganized, that non-charged up energy that you would expect to see on an opening kick weekend, on a night home game on ESPN, to see the lack of blocking ability and pass rush and just so many blunt. I thought their special teams unit was disaster.
Horrible. Horrible.
Their punt unit was, their punt return and punt units were just not good. I honest to God, I walked away. You could say Nico Taylor, and I'd say, okay. I didn't walk away with any positives. I really didn't. There was some players that had graded out at PFF at an okay level.
Sure.
But I didn't look at any positives from that game. Not a single one.
Yeah, special teams was a disaster from the opening possession of the game where there's too many men on the field, and the coaches should have seen that and called timeout, and then it felt like every other time after that, Cal had a 40-yard punt return. It felt like they were starting every drive in Oregon State territory, and the field was just tilted against you, and you were working uphill, and they were working downhill for the majority of the night. I also thought the lack of offense that they had was a bit alarming.
Yes.
But it's one of those things where it's so hard in week one because you have this buildup and you're so excited, and Oregon State fans talk themselves into thinking they could win 9 or 10 games. And for all we know, they might. We don't know how the rest of the season is going to go.
Yeah.
And you want to have these grand conclusions and big takeaways. The lack of offense was alarming. I also think when you have a lot of new faces and a new quarterback, like, it's going to take you a while to gel. There's new pieces, and there's just new players out there. And one of your top wide receivers got hurt 2 weeks ago, and you had to try and figure out a way to replace that. So there's almost a grace period there. I'm caught in between two different. I'm not going to come down with a hard hot take opinion after one game. I've learned my lesson too many times. Oregon nearly lost to Idaho in the opening week of the season last year, and then they went 13-0. Right?
Grand takeaways on most teams.
On the one hand, there's a million things that you highlight and we have highlighted in this segment that would piss me off that you didn't clean up. Like, there were coaching snafus last year that I think you gave the benefit of the doubt of, like, all right, it's his first year as head coach. Everybody's going to have a learning experience no matter what level you're at.
Right.
Opening drive of the game, not calling a timeout, is a crime against humanity. Like, that, you cannot allow
that.
You cannot
give up a first down on that blunder.
If it's 2nd and 7 and you have too many men on the field and you get caught and you don't want to blow a timeout to avoid a 2nd and 2, whatever. That's fine. On the 27-yard line, I don't care. Mm-hmm. It was 4th and 2. You cannot not call a timeout there. So that was strike number one. Strike number two would be the Jabari Johnson possession, where what are we doing for two plays? And then bringing in your $1.5 million transfer quarterback for a, 3rd and 6? He throws an incompletion and he plays one play on a 3 and out or whatever. That made no sense. Going for two in the moment that they went for two.
Yeah.
You're just kind of out thinking the room. You're trying to be this analytical guy of like,
I don't understand. Look, I
don't get it.
Late in the game, I guess, but like I'm doing the math and I understand analytics are a big part of the sport. I'm pro analytics.
Let's just build some momentum, kick the field goal and move on. Like,
well, then you're chasing.
Yes.
And then you chase and you don't get, because again, you have another blunder where your quarterback is not being told they're going for two. So he runs off kind of dinged up.
You have to use a timeout.
And then you have to use a timeout because then you still put in Jabari and Jabari's
what are
not
we
throwing
doing?
The football.
So all of those things are very accurate and fair to pinpoint and say, how is that possible in week
one?
You cannot, especially when you're coming off a year where it felt like there were a lot of those kind of mistakes, having them happen again in week one is alarming because that should have been the focal point of the offseason.
Yes.
Is cleaning some of that stuff up. On the other side of it, I did also come away from the game saying, you know, a lot of those completions in the first half were tight coverage. Like, a lot of those plays that Cal was making was just simply getting beat by a guy who looks like he's going to be a freshman All-American. And in the moment, you can say, man, we're getting dog-walked by Cal in the first half at home. Mm-hmm. But if you would have lost, say, to Indiana early in the season last year, you would have said something similar of like, how the hell did Indiana do that to us? And then you look up halfway through the year and you're like, damn, Indiana is good. I don't know where Cal's going to go the rest of the way.
I don't either.
But I'm going to give him, if that quarterback's going to play that way, I'm going to give him a puncher's chance in a lot of games. He might be the second best quarterback in the ACC after seeing him for 1 week. So there's this balance of like, some of it is inexcusable, while simultaneously, like, you do at times have to tip your cap to just getting beat by elite throws, and that happened a lot in the first half of that game.
I don't disagree with that takeaway, and we're against it. We need to turn this over. We'll get some Bray audio. I don't disagree with you. I was one of my best friends is a diehard Duck, and all he cares about is the Oregon Duck football team. That's all sports-wise he cares about. I text him, and I go, hey, man, this is depressing, but should Oregon have chosen JKS over Dante Moore, 3 years as a starter, higher ceiling, just watching this kid be 6'3", 2'0"? And he goes, I'm pretty impressed with Hawaiian Penix. I got to be honest with you.
He looks pretty damn good right now, dude.
but he was
unbelievable.
He was unreal. But also, how many times was he sacked? Yeah. Zero.
The pressure is a problem.
They've played 13 games. They have 7 sacks. I don't know where that ranks all time for a season plus one game in college football history.
It's not good.
But they were the worst, quite literally, out of 134 teams last year in it. And I'd venture to say they were one of just a handful of teams that had 0 sacks registered.
Yeah.
How many times was he hit?
Not very often.
2.
Not very often.
How many times was he defined as hurried? 10.
Yeah.
A whole game, hit twice, 0 sacks, hurried 10 times.
I will say this.
Any kid's going to, he dropped dimes, okay? Again, I was throwing out ridiculous takes to people late. But in all seriousness, I'm also like, he's going to have a game where he throws 3 picks because he's going to get pass rush.
Yeah.
And he'll be a freshman and he'll make a bad decision. And Oregon State presented none of that challenge.
No.
And for everything you're saying, you're not wrong. We don't know how good they're going to be. We don't know what Cal is. Well, I'll tell you what, Cal was an underdog.
They were an underdog in that
Oregon
game.
State was the favorite in that game.
That's
and
why
they
we
got
won so
bludgeoned.
Yeah.
And they were a penalty away from maybe losing 38-7. So everything you're saying, you're not necessarily wrong, but there are a lot of red flags sticking up for me watching my team play. Now, they get Fresno State, who I have no read on.
It quickly feels like a must-win. Like, right out of the gate, this is your season.
If you don't beat Fresno, you're going to be 0-5.
Yeah.
And your fan base, at least by attendance metrics, already was like,
they're already checked out. Yeah. That was the part of it that I...
And I'm not blaming fans at all. Please do not hear what I'm saying I'm blaming fans. I'm just saying the vibes part was like the stadium. They did a West Coast attendance. Oregon State's capacity, I want to say, is like 38. It went down, right? It's 40, 41.
I think it's 41, 42.
Because it used to be
44. Now that everything's open.
Yeah, and they cut a couple of seats out.
It wasn't even 35. They did a West Coast attendance. It wasn't even in the top 10.
And that's not even the real attendance either. That's always a bloated number. It's never quite fully accurate. There's a lot of empty seats at a lot of those stadiums that are reported as sold tickets. That was the other part of it that I should have taken into consideration, because one of the reasons that I think people were confident in Oregon State going into that game was the idea of a freshman quarterback going on the road in that environment.
Right.
It's not that environment anymore.
No, it wasn't that
at least as of right now, what was not that was not the environment of 2023, where some other young guys have gone in there and really struggled. It was a really tough place to play, and Caleb Williams said with a half a stadium it was one of the loudest he experienced. Like, it just isn't that anymore, and I didn't take that into consideration. Our friend Angie Machado at Beaver Blitz,
she wrote a really honest piece, man.
You pointed that out to me, and I went and looked even on her Twitter timeline. She's going back and forth with fans about no replays being shown, no in-game entertainment. It felt like an overall
dud
product.
They don't make it a great experience in person.
From top to bottom, from the in-game experience all the way down to the way the players played, and you can't drop a worse start than that.
Rough week one. Let's hear Trent Bray having to clear the air on something after week one. I find to be a bit of a problem, and so we'll hear some audio from Trent Bray, and then we'll get into Oregon, who took care of business. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, It's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I definitely wasn't listening to this in a dark room on Saturday night. Definitely not. Who would? Why would you? Beavs lose 34-15. Really sad. I have to see a change.org petition on the Twitter timeline about showing replays.
Now, can somebody explain why they don't show replays?
It is their conference rule, to which everybody's like, you're one of two teams yeah. in the conference. You can do what
you are the conference.
You're the conference. You're the conference champs from last year.
You're the conference champion.
You control this bitch. What are we talking about here? What do you mean it's a conference rule? Did Oregon not used to show replays when they were in the Pac-12?
No, they used to show replays at Reister all the time. So I've seen them.
How is this a new conference rule?
What I don't know, man.
How
it's
are you
ridiculous.
Not showing replays of games? That's like one of the most basic.
I don't know
things that you can do.
Watched.
Don't the Ducks show a replay after every play?
Yeah, they got a pretty big board. They paid a lot of money for that board, and they want to put
Oregon
that bad
State
boy to use.
Oregon State also got a new board.
Yeah.
For what?
Let's use it.
Like show even after Timmy, even after a loaf
after touchdowns, they don't show replays of touchdowns, or is it just controversial calls? I'm confused.
I don't know, man.
Don't know. Catch no catch. Like, is that the only replay?
But they didn't show replays, and I'm like, how is this a thing?
Yeah, that's not ideal, Bob.
They were asking Trent Bray in his Monday press conference about I think it was Sikorsky, if I have the name right. If Beaver fan thinks I'm wrong here, please text Beat Police. Text Police and let me know at 503-864-6326. And he basically was like, he wasn't on the 2D. Why was Sikorsky playing? Like, he was the only guy available.
I think it was because he was out, if I read that correctly. I think he was banged up last week when they released the depth chart, and so he wasn't on it, and then he was available
to
play.
But then he was only available is what how Bray framed it, and then yeah. I went and looked at PFF grades, and Sikorsky had the best grade of all the offensive linemen in any metric.
He was hog-tying
them up.
He was the only hog-tire they had on that offensive line.
He was hog-tying out there, man.
I would say that. I know people are angry at Gunderson now, right? It's year two. Year two is a big year for a coaching staff. Alarming. How bad the run blocking was.
They couldn't
was.
Run the ball. When you can't run the ball, everything's going to be limited offensively.
Hankerson was 4 yards behind the line on every hit, it felt like.
Yeah, there was never really any room, I thought, in order to create the separation that you needed. He had 15 carries for 42 yards. That's a 2.8-yard per carry average.
Yeesh.
That's just not going to get it done.
65 yards total.
Now, to be fair to some of the offensive line problems, when you're trailing by 20 points in the second half, you're going to have to throw your way back into the game, and that becomes incredibly difficult to pass block in those situations because the defensive line doesn't have to prepare or be worried at all about your ability to run the football in those situations. Like, this gets back to that weird back and forth that I have, and I don't blame any fan for being pessimistic and for the overall picture and just the single game picture. But, like, in the second half, I thought defensively they were okay. Like, all of Cal's points, it felt like came off of turnovers and short fields.
Oh, I will
it
give,
wasn't like Cal was driving the ball 80 yards every time they got it. After getting lit up in the first half by the young quarterback, I think Cal on the game was, what, 3 of 11 on third down? Like, they were getting off the field.
Yeah.
You just turned it over inside your own 20-yard line. You had the turnover at the end of the first half, which was a backbreaker. Like,
sure.
You just did a lot of dumb stuff to yourself.
I think it's fair to give – I guess I was maybe a little overly negative in the sense of, like, no positive. To that point, I will say, yeah, the defense wasn't horrific.
Yeah.
But it was the start that clouded it.
Touchdown, touchdown, right out of the gate.
I think Nemec had the stat, like, after they scored their 14, they went, like, 0 for 7 on third down after that. So, like, they got off the field. It just, the offense was so truly bad.
Yeah.
And then there were boneheaded plays, and then, like, I don't know. I had a weird vibe, and maybe that defense will continue to get better, but the no pass rush thing is just, your secondary can be as uber talented as whatever metric you want to use. If you have no pass rush, you are going to find a hard time winning most of your games.
Yes, you are.
And so that continues to be a problem, is their pass rush is not great. The other problem was, we also had Malik Murphy pretty early on showing his frustration, screaming at Danny
Langsdorf
about God knows what. You know, I took it as somebody super competitive being pissed off. And Trent Bray had to address that in his Monday press conference.
No, I think it was frustration, not only in the way that was the game was going, I think with what just happened in the game. He's just a competitive person. And sometimes what looks like a negative conversation is just, sometimes it's just a fiery conversation, but it's not a negative one. And that's what you saw on the sideline.
It's not, I don't think it's great to have that in a week one. I get being competitive, but screaming and clapping hands in a coach's face as a college player, and there's a whole look with it, and it's not great that it's been already down to that in week one.
Yes.
What I would say, and we'll get back into the local flavor in the 9 a.m. hour today, but what I would finally add, and then I'll let you go before we get into Oregon, my thing on it is, I don't know, I was thinking about this, I don't know if I can pinpoint a game in a moment where I walked away and I felt amazing about the coaching staff. And it's early, it's
That's
one
fair.
Week, I'm not, there's no hot seat thing here, I'm saying, not trying to be hot takey, but I know Duck fan, either it's through quotes and press conferences or the however many games he's won now, you've gotten that from Lanning.
Yeah.
Right? You go like, man, you feel good about it. I don't know if I've really had that moment yet. Even in their wins, I'm like, oh, they were lucky to win that game. Oh, it shouldn't be Colorado State.
That was uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, just to have your game one be that discombobulated, oh, that's a rough start if you're still earning some of that in fan base.
I don't disagree with that takeaway at all. Last year was a bit of a wash throw up for me. Like year one, all of the new faces, all of the new pieces. Like no matter what happened last year, I'm not really going to have any grand conclusions. I think it was alarming that a lot of that stuff reared its ugly head in the first game of this year, that there was no timeout, the two plays for Jabari, the two-point conversion, then calling a timeout for a two-point conversion when you're chasing points. Like, there just were a lot of things throughout the course of the game that I'm like, that shouldn't happen in year two with the staff, and you should have grown and evolved and not had some of those same mistakes. Like, I don't think we're talking enough about, too, the fumble at the end of the first half, which was, it's a 14-3 game. Mm-hmm. Your defense got off to a horrible start. You're kind of holding serve. You're hanging around in the game. You're driving, and where did that fumble happen? On, like, the 30-yard line of Cal, 35, somewhere in there. So it's like, you got 2 minutes to go to try and kick a field goal, which makes it a one-possession game, or potentially score a touchdown to make it a 14-10 game, and you get the ball to start the second half. Like, it's just like you were that close to trying to make it something. Instead, you fumble, they get the field goal, and now 14-3 turns into 17-3, and then you go 3-and-out on the opening drive of the second half, and then they score, and you're like, cool, all right.
That was summed up the first half for me.
Just like, boom, just like, all right, that went from 14-3 to 24-3 in an absolute hurry.
Yeah.
I love the passion from a quarterback who's fired up about, you're paying me $1.5 million, why am I on the bench for two plays of a series for a backup? I don't know if that was what it was about either, but if I were him, that's what I would have been saying.
Same.
You brought me in here to be a starting quarterback. Allow me to be a starting quarterback. The problem with him last year at Duke, and it was the thing that I wanted to see the most this year of him improve on, was turnovers. He turned the ball over a lot last year, and he threw a pick inside his own 20-yard line, which just set up an easy touchdown, and then he threw what could have been a 110-yard pick six that got called back for PI. And so the fumble, the pick, there were turnover issues as well that kind of mounted. Everybody does need to take a deep breath. I'm not saying the pessimistic fans are wrong or right. Like, we don't know how the rest of the year is going to go.
100%.
Let's see how Fresno State goes this weekend. Mm-hmm. You come out, you win that game by 14. I already chalked up Texas Tech and Oregon on the road as losses anyways. And then you get Houston with a chance to open your first five games at 2-3. In the back half of the schedule, I don't think anybody showed me anything on the back half of that schedule this weekend that scares me. I didn't watch most of the teams play, but I didn't need to. And I did see the Cougs, and you got them twice. And they don't look very good this year.
No.
So, back half is still manageable, but you got to come out and get a win at home this weekend against Fresno State.
Via PFF, Malik Murphy And we know quarterbacks when blitzed, it's a different story. Not blitzed, 77.3 completion percentage for 217. When blitzed, 33.3 for 27 yards and a pick.
It's also a tough spot in the second half when they know you're throwing the ball. They're coming after you. They're pinning their ears back. And it's just, that's an uncomfortable world to live in as a QB.
Only 24.3% of his dropbacks were play action.
Yeah.
There's just little wrinkles I'm going to be curious to see.
Because he couldn't run the ball. Well, nobody's falling for it.
Well, there is that, but also there's like, what wrinkles will they change or make for the Fresno State game is what I wonder. So, not a great start for Oregon State. They get blown out at home by Cal. 0-1 the Beavs. They get ready for Fresno State. We'll get back into them in the final hour. Let's get to the local flavor. The Oregon Ducks. How about the start for them against Montana State? We'll talk about them. And we've got coach-on-coach beef, maybe, going on. We'll talk Oregon Ducks next. Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus. They do a lot of great college football work as well. He covers the sport. He'll join us at 8 a.m. for the Daily Ticker. One Beav listener saying, what's it feel like to be an OSU fan right now? Picture yourself at a hospital being told you have an incurable condition due to medical malpractice. They could cure you, but won't take your insurance. Meanwhile, the patient next door fully recovered from the same issue. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it.
That sounds pretty accurate.
One team not having to deal with coaching woes or being discombobulated to start the year and maybe looking every bit the part, your Oregon Ducks.
Hey! We spin to win.
They spin to win. And won indeed. 59-13. They destroyed Montana State. This was a game that I would say by the end of the third, I kept on, but I text you, all right, I'm good. And you were like, not me. I've got lotion by my bed.
Give me more touchdowns.
We played 31 freshmen.
You see those Luke Moga runs in the fourth quarter?
No, I did.
See those Luke Moga runs? He's torching the defense, man. Zone read, they can't cover it.
I did, and it's not fair to him. I did get a kick out of Dante. Was kind of what I thought Dante would be. He had three touchdowns, threw for 213. He had a fun little run at the beginning where he's pointing and yelling.
First down.
I did love when they finally put in Novosad because the game was out of hand. Poor kid, first pass, just couldn't even hit a screen pass. I'm like, oh.
He did, yeah, he missed the first throw. He did hit one down the sideline to Casper later than that. But
he only got
one drive.
Difference.
I was kind of surprised by the way they dealt with the quarterback rotation, to be honest with you. I would have assumed that Novosad would have got a few more series, but they gave Moga some of them. Novosad only had one series, and then they flipped out to a different quarterback after that. Look, it was nice. It was nice to get back to an opening season win where you did what you were supposed to do. I'm not going to crown you or give you flowers for beating a team the way that you're supposed to beat your team. I think the reason we're reacting that way is because of how bad the opener was last year and how bad they were against Idaho. So it was just at least refreshing to see, okay, that's what you're supposed to do with a team like Montana State. I chuckled at some of the comments I saw from Montana State fans about how they're going to be competing for a national title and Oregon shouldn't take them lightly. And the first play of the game was a 40-yard run. Kenyon Sadiq shoved a guy off of him, hurdled another guy, DeCorian Moore hurdled a guy, and you're like, yeah, dude, different level of athlete here. You can't hang in this arena as long as Oregon comes to play. And that was honestly like, there's a lot of stuff you look for in week one. You're going to make mistakes. There's going to be miscues. There's going to be assignment errors. There's no preseason.
Yeah.
It's just, are you playing with your hair on fire? Are you playing with relentless effort? And it felt like Oregon was doing that from the opening snap, top to bottom on the roster. The biggest takeaway, and you're going to joke about it, and I know Lanning talked about it, but I have never seen them, and I don't know what the formula will be the rest of the year. I have never seen them rotate that many guys in the first half of a game like that before.
Mm.
Never. Like, you win, like, they beat Portland State 81-7 or whatever it was 2 years ago in the opener.
Yeah.
By the time you got to the second half, of course everybody is playing.
Sure.
When you go up and down and look at the number of guys who played snaps in the first half, like, Cooper Perry caught a pass in the first half.
Right.
I did not have that on my bingo card.
Me either. I was wondering if Cooper Perry was going to see action this week, but I wasn't sure.
He's like number 7 on the wide receiver depth chart, but they felt like they got guys who were ready to play. They wanted to give guys experience, and they rotated a ton of players, and that was a lot of fun to watch.
It's a good observation by you in that sense. There's really not a lot to take away from the game. They handled their business. They were every bit of the talent difference that we saw on paper.
Yes.
I saw a Montana State player say, like, I've never seen speed like that.
That Taco Dowler kid is a stud wide receiver. He was fun to watch.
I know Lanning referenced it and said he actually hit the wrong block, but like, who didn't watch that DeCorian Moore block live and go, my God, this kid just drove him into the ground, and Bryant was dabbing him up even though he was the one that scored the touchdown.
That's the kind of stuff you want to see in week one.
Yes, 100%.
Just that level of effort.
The takeaway, I think, is two things. One, as we try not to overreact to week one teams winning and losing, mm-hmm. which I think is a very smart thing. Man, I just, the speed and the physicality, and it's Montana State, so I know, spare me, Sprague. I get it. We'll see what they do against Oklahoma State, and I think there's going to be a driving force for audio for why it might not look that different against Oklahoma State. It makes me reconsider how I view Oregon, and I still don't know a whole lot about Dante Moore yet. It was a great start. But Mekhi Hughes, I mean, that the kid from Tulane, they bring him in. He's high-level NIL guy.
He has the most rushing yards of a returning starter of anybody in college football this year.
And everybody was like, it's going to be this, it's going to be this, and nobody's watching practice. And you had gotten some intel late last week, and you're basically like, I don't know, man. And he didn't play until when? The second quarter. He got in a drive, and he still didn't do anything. It was basically like...
He had a couple of carries, a couple of catches, but he was not a factor.
Well, Noah Whittington looked healthy. That was nice to see.
Whittington looked good.
They brought in Whittington.
Freshman looked good.
Davison, the freshman, had three touchdowns, and Jaden Lamar got in before all of... And Jay Harris had a nice
and
catch.
Harris was
all
out
of
there.
Those guys were out there before him.
You had four running backs play before Hughes, who was brought in on the NIL, and like we were only going off what we thought. We didn't know. And he didn't play. So we can talk about that on the other side of, does it matter? I don't know if it does when you have four other running backs capable. I saw one person on social media, which sums up social media, going, how does he not play him? I don't know, man.
He sees him every day in practice. Maybe
he
has the
most wins of any Oregon coach in 4 years, but you're worried about his eye for talent? Okay.
Was it like all the other running backs sucked and couldn't get a yard, and we're just leaving this thoroughbred on the sidelines on purpose?
Well, and also, even though the opponent wasn't great, this weekend's is more of a name, a household name, and they did the one thing you should never do. And I don't know why this coach did this, and I'm afraid the score is going to look very similar this week as it did this past weekend against Montana State.
Had some shots fired already leading into week two.
I thought we had about as good a response as you could want from your coach on the shots fired.
He was in a good mood last night. Rightfully so. They did what they were supposed to do. He's feeling nicey right now.
You know why?
We got him, boys!
We got him, boys! So we'll get to that landing audio next on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Football Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can also always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. The NFL is back this week.
Thursday night, baby. We all get to watch the Cowboys get waxed on national television.
We made it.
That line keeps creeping up. It's 8.5 now.
Waiting all day for a Sunday night.
7 hours.
All right. It's about it. Finally.
Cannot wait.
It's going to be awesome, man.
We'll get to Max Chadwick coming up here, top of the hour. We'll get to the landing audio in just a second. The quick thing, the Mekhi Hughes thing.
Yeah.
I also observed it. We were texting in our group chat. Am I surprised? Yeah. But also, how is it not a universal just trusting of Dan Lanning and staff to say he's not our best one, so we're not going to play him?
I mean, we literally did a segment last week about how they love everybody in that room and they might play 5 or 6 running backs. And so if you listen to the show,
I don't think anybody would have thought he was the 5th or 6th guy in that scenario.
Probably not. But also there's a familiarity in the system that every one of those backs, outside of the freshman, to be fair, Davidson, but they love him in goal line situations. That's mainly how they used him. D'Arre Hill didn't get in until after him. He's the other true freshman. Mm-hmm. He looked great in the second half. But Noah Whittington, I think the untalked about part about him was how healthy and dominant he looked at the end of last year, much different than the start of last year. And so Jaden Lamar's been in the system for 3 years. I think there's a familiarity for those guys. It just, from what I heard, it's not necessarily a Mekhi Hughes sucks thing. The guy's one of the leading returning rushers in all of college football. He had back-to-back 1,200, 1,300-yard seasons at Tulane. Mm-hmm. It just is about maybe a lack of picking up the offense as quickly as they would have hoped and a extreme level of trust in talent elsewhere in that room that it's a great problem to have. And so I don't think they're going to ever have one feature back with a guy with 35 carries in a game. If they can split it up 6 or 7 ways with touches and keep everybody fresh throughout the course of the game, why would you not want to do that? Did a lot of that with Jordan James early in the year last year.
They play Oklahoma State this weekend, so they move on from pummeling Montana State. They get Oklahoma State, and then they play Oregon State. Just a series of state schools there for Oregon.
A lot of states right out of the gate.
And Mike Gundy, for whatever reason, Oklahoma State lost their starting quarterback to a broken foot, and their leading sack getter in week 1. Committed a crime, and so I have no idea where they're at, but they're not overly impressive.
Got arrested for larceny.
Feels like he's on the hot seat. He talked about this mattering when you play a team like Oregon.
Well, same thing as you. They're a good football team. You know, Oregon is playing really well. You know, I think they're well coached. They're spending a lot of money, and you know they've put a lot into that organization, and you can see they're a good football team.
So
it should also be added, too, by the way. Yeah. So there was another quote on his radio show. So that was at his press conference. Mm-hmm. He made another one on his weekly coaches radio show or whatever, where he said that Oregon spent $40 million on the roster last year.
He also kind of, I think it was the same coaches show where he's indicating like playing teams, you should play opponents that spend
level. Comparable spending. Why would we play somebody who spends $40 million when we spend $7 million on our roster?
So Dan Lanning is... I was surprised he answered it, to be honest, because he was just told about it, unless he had heard it and
I think he heard about it.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay. But Dan Lanning was told about it at the press conference, or at least opened him up to responding, and this was Dan Lanning's response.
Yeah, it sounds like there is, listening to him talk. Like I said, I got a ton of respect for Coach Gundy. You know, ultimately, how blessed are we to be in a place that's invested in winning? If you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better be invested in winning. And we spend to win. Some people save to have an excuse for why they don't, right? And ultimately, he's a great coach. They've done an unbelievable job, but I want to be a team that's competing at the highest level. And we're really fortunate to be in that situation. So I can't speak on their situation. I have no idea, you know, what they got in their pockets over there. I'm sure UT Martin maybe didn't have as much as them last week, and they played. So we'll let it play out.
Throw
it,
we got them, boys!
why, Gundy? You're such an idiot. I just don't.
They're going to drop 60 on him.
Yeah, this one might be personal after that kind of stuff.
He'll shake his hand. He'll give him his respect publicly. Yeah. Internally, dude, the guy's a psycho. We saw it, right? They're fighting for clicks. They're fighting for wins. You talk with your helmet.
It's just ridiculous to come out as a coach and say we should schedule non-conference based on roster budgets to make it fair and equitable when you just played UT Martin.
You also had one of the richest donors yes. when he was alive for
and he spent the entire offseason, Gundy, that is, bragging about how much money they spent on this roster.
Yeah.
The entire offseason. I love when coaches throw out numbers. They spent $40 million on their roster.
He smirked at that based when he heard it, too. Like, he was like, 40, huh?
Oh, okay. 40. That's what we're up to now. I thought it was 20 last year. Now it's 40. We're talking about this year's team or last year's team. We spent an $800 million on this year's sure. roster. What are we, the Dodgers? It's a Shohei Ohtani contract. It's hilarious. Throw out all the red meat that you want. But it was a perfect response from Lanning of, if that's the way that you feel, then why did you play UT Martin last week? Why didn't you go find somebody?
That is the ultimate ether. Like, it's just like...
You literally just did this. So we can only play Alabama and Texas in non-conference. We're not allowed to play anybody else. Like, come on, man. This is the way the sport has always been. Some teams spend more than others to win. It's just above board now more than it ever has been.
I am expecting a butt whooping this weekend. Maybe I'm overlooking, I guess, certain elements of Oklahoma State, but
the
I
line's
saw
up to 29.
The line's bigger than it was for Montana State, which I think says a lot about the weird nature of week one lines, because, again, it was a reaction to what happened last year against Idaho, and this idea that Oregon doesn't have any talent because they lost guys to the NFL as if recruiting rankings don't matter and they haven't stockpiled three or four consecutive top three, top four classes in the country. Look, there's not a lot that you can take from a Montana State game.
No, there isn't.
But some of the stuff that's like, dude, the number of guys that they played that looked like above-the-line players, the number of true freshmen that were in the game, DeCorian Moore looked the part, Kenyon Sadiq just shoved another grown man off of him and scored a touchdown.
Well, that guy's not quite the... That's
he's
a different
not Kenyon,
grown man.
He's
that's
not a Kenyon Sadiq grown man, but that's a, I mean, that's a college football player, and he just shoved him like a ragdoll. It'd be like me trying to tackle Sukanik in the open field, and it's not going to go very well for me. Like... That's
a good poll question.
That's the equivalent. If I tried to tackle Jason Sukanik in open field, that's what would happen to me. And he did that to another player. So there are a lot of those kind of like, that looked good. And now I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
We'll get back into them in the final hour. We'll ask, obviously, Max Chadwick maybe where Oregon sits in his mind after week one results. He's going to join us for PFF for the Daily Ticker at the top of the hour. You said the Oklahoma State line was 29
to 29. Back, it's 28.5 right now at A&A. It was 29 earlier. Earlier in the show.
But Montana State was 28.
28.5, I think, is what it closed at.
So I'll tell you what I'm doing this weekend.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
Hard. Hard.
Their starting quarterback got hurt, and their best defensive player probably won't make the trip because he got arrested. But
don't put it past Oklahoma State.
Don't put it past Oklahoma State.
We'll get back into them. We got some other stuff from Dan Lanning. We can get to his takeaway of the quarterback position, some other audio that we'll get into. Max Chadwick is going to kick off the third hour of the radio program, a back-to-school edition of Dirt and Sprague. Happy back-to-school to everybody else that's going back today. My kiddo's going. I saw her fit check. I'm a little jealous I don't get to say goodbye to her, but...
Yeah, it's tough. First day of school.
It's okay. She's excited. I talked to her last night.
You'll be on pickup. You'll be on pickup duty.
Yeah, I won't, but I'll see her when she gets home.
Oh, you're not going to be on pickup duty day one?
Bus. No.
Ride the bus.
What are we talking about here? But happy back-to-school. Loaded third hour. Max Chadwick, PFF.com, joins us Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.